99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show. It's the second part of the show, Dailies Today, right? I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
Oh, yes, of course. You are Jimmy Disu, the ancestor.
Sheriff, you know, I had said last week I wouldn't be here.
Yes, you know? Yes.
I'm
yes.
tired. So next week, you conned me to come in. Next week, Thursday and Friday, I won't come.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's okay.
This job.
That break is needed.
It's needed. Mm. I'm tired. Upstairs. Mm.
That break is needed. Let's get to it. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also let us know what you think on our website, nigeriainfo.fm, in the chat room there. Let's know what you think. We're going to start with this story on page 8 of The Punch. Court stops Lagos from demolishing Ikoyi buildings.
Now, this story creates a dilemma. The normal practice is that you can't comment on a court judgment. But there's a higher reason why I might have to comment on this judgment, not to criticize it or say whether it is good or bad, but to raise an alarm of the consequences that might come thereon from this judgment. Okay, Justice Adewumi Oshin of the Lagos State High Court has stopped the Lagos State government from taking over and demolishing the two remaining high-rise buildings, you know, those four-score heights limited buildings in Ikoyi. And the government had decided that because it presented a threat to public safety, and rightly so, because it was under the same circumstance that even the one that came down were built, that they were, left to me, that building should have come down a long time ago. Okay? But the judge yesterday said that ordered that all parties to remain status quo pending the hearing and determination of a suit filed by 15 subscribers in the three high-rise buildings. Three of the subscribers approached the court and, you know. And it says that in the suit, the subscribers, which includes Wemima Ogunde, SCN, a former pastor of the Redeemed Church, Adetola Adutola, and an Oba-elect, Pastor Gandhi Olaoye, are seeking general damages of 200 million and another 50 million as the cost of filing the suit. The claimants in the suit was filed by Akeem Mustafa, SCN. They argue that the failure of the Lagos State government and its officials to supervise the construction of one of the three towers in line with regulations lest it collapse. And so they ask the court to make an order restraining the defendants from trespassing or further trespassing, demolishing, or further demolishing the properties until an independent audit of the property is carried out by Coren. And so the judge says that, he's put an order that it shouldn't be demolished. My question is, what if the building goes down tomorrow? Mm. What if the compromises that are in the building that went down are in these other two buildings and it goes down? What would we be looking at? So I have a dilemma. I can't give any comment on the judgment, but I am worried that the other two buildings could come down at any time. So what do we do? I'd like the Attorney General to quickly, you know, look into this and find a way to, at the very least, give us assurances that it is safe for the building to remain even for the next 24 hours. And that is my dilemma. I hope somebody out there is listening. And I hope the judge has taken all this into consideration in giving the judgment. But I am very, very worried that those two buildings, because this one that came down didn't give any notice. Had it given notice, the owner of the building wouldn't have been there. I lost a son in that building. I know what the pain is like to those of us, him and his family. You know, and I know that if those two buildings should come down again, at the very least, the security people manning that area, and it's cordoned off, yes, but there are buildings next to it, behind it, and so on and so forth. And so I'd like maybe the little appeal I can make is for the process to be sped up. Let's speed it up and find a resolution. But the Attorney General this morning must be doing something very drastic to avoid, because if the other two buildings go down, if the other two buildings go down, then these investors, it's not a threat, but it's just natural. These investors indirectly might be held responsible for this. I mean, we must look at the larger good at times like this. I rest my case.
Mm. Away from the point, let's go to page.
You don't want to say anything.
No,
so that,
no, nothing.
So that if...
nothing. I'm not saying anything.
You will say something on this one. Either you agree
which
or you
don't agree. Which one?
I know the danger of what I just said, but that burning desire for safety, for public safety,
no,
is
actually,
what has pushed me to it.
Honestly, there is no danger in what you just said. You have not criticized anything.
I haven't.
No, you have not.
I didn't
have. You're only appealing to Lagos State government to, you know, at least give assurances that, you know, there will be safety of lives, which is
As long as argument on, because court cases now, you know how long it takes.
Exactly. So nothing spoil. Yeah,
so you agree with me? I want to must state it.
Okay. That's the best you're going to get.
People, all of you people, today's Friday. Let's have fun. Let's have fun.
Let's go to Vanguard. PDP crisis worsens as Wike Bodejudge insists Ayew quits.
Well, it is being said that the next chairman should come from the southwest, so I'm not too surprised at where Chief Bodejudge stands on this. But this thing is becoming a big crisis in the. It's now been turned into a north-south thing, which it wasn't when Wike was in consideration for vice president, as a vice presidential candidate. He was all ready to take it. When it didn't come his way, then the North-South divide has started and it's been blown wide open. Well, the initial thing is to say that it's their business. They will sort themselves out, but there will be ripple effects if this thing is not handled carefully. Ayew himself hasn't been too good with the rhetoric. I expect him to be a statesman. You know, and make, first of all, the world will not come to an end if you are not the chairman. And that's what I jolly well would have said, that, well, I leave it to the party. I was elected. If the party wants me to leave, I'm not just going to walk away. If some whatever ad hoc thing is put together, as long as it follows the legal process, I'd be more than glad to leave. But so that's what we're having here now. And but the judge says that Ayew must go. Is backing Wike at Ayew must go, and he was a special guest at the inauguration of internal roads constructed. Wike has gone, he's gone wild about having inaugural this and that, if to the point that he had one big ceremony to start off the construction. Who is paying for all this? First of all, I don't, this idea of commissioning, I don't believe in it. They might say that I'm not a politician. If you wanted to do commissioning in a place like the United Kingdom, you'd be doing it by the hour. There's always some construction
going on.
It's part of government. Must I commission this studio every day I come to sit down? Look, when we bought this new nice, those of you on YouTube, you remember this yellow, what, they were much bigger than this. We bought these ones. Why are we supposed to commission them before we start to use them? Then you now have what they call it a flag off. And you invite people from outside the state, some big ceremony, accommodating people in hotels and this and that protocol, spending more people's money. And yet you don't pay pensioners. You don't pay pensioners. You're owing pensioners. I don't get it. But that's where we are today. And the NWC member says that the PDP is risking losing the Southwest if care is not taken. But Babatope Ebinotopsi, in those days when we were in university, we used to love reading. It's very hard. We thought he was a socialist or communist, but he's in the capitalist party today. But he says that he faltered the call for Ayew's resignation, and that he hopes that the elders will intervene in the crisis. He says, Babatope says that, I am sure that the elders of the party will move and ensure they salvage the situation. I am sure they are going to intervene and ensure there is peace in the party. I am sure that eventually we are going to see peace, because the crisis is very embarrassing.
There's a comment on our website here in the chat room that says, Uncle Jimmy, are you made a promise to step down when a northern candidate emerges in the party?
Well, he hasn't done that.
Yeah, he's trying to say that's a problem Wike has with.
When Atiku emerged, he didn't until the issue of the vice president. If Wike had been the vice presidential candidate, he wouldn't be involved in all this.
Maybe.
Yes, he wouldn't be. Not maybe, he wouldn't be. And I'm just glad he's not the vice presidential candidate of the party. Look, we need to tell ourselves we still haven't gotten to that point where we have parameters by which Wike is a fine man, all the things you'd like to say nice about him. But I don't really believe he's fit and proper to be a vice president. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not fit and proper to be a governor of a state. I can't. I can be brash and I can be very decisive. You need somebody who's more suave to handle such things. So a man must know himself and know his limits. So it's not anything, it's not a downer for me to say that he's not a fit and proper person to be. It's not everybody that can be president or vice president. He's very brash.
Do you think I can be president or vice president?
You are experts. You don't see how you dodge.
I dodge. What did I dodge? I'm not a politician.
Go away.
I'm not a politician now. What do I dodge?
You, Kikiri. Do I not know you?
I am not now.
You make a very good politician. And then you are sober than I am. I'm not sober. I could only make a very good military governor.
Yeah.
My Benwon Lori. You know, don't you hear? If I were president, I have very little tolerance for the kind of nonsense that leaders are expected to accommodate. In the story today now, Customs is saying that NNPC cannot account for X for some trillion subsidy.
Yeah.
If I got that kind of report, some people will be in prison as we speak. I don't have time
Not literally my Benwon Lori, like you just punish them.
No, my Benwon Lori means my beggy for one. I don't have time for for me, a president, this kind of story comes out, Customs, whatever, you can't account, says NNPC can't account. Immediately, I set up a 3-man panel that might not even be known to anybody. Top notch. Get within 24 hours, get some interim reports. Uncle Ashen
one. Yeah.
I don't have time. That's why I can't go there.
Okay, let's take this one here. Ogbeha, gentleman officer Ogbeha at 75.
Now, Sherry forgot to tell you that I saw the
name of the sponsor. Yes.
Now, I'd like you to listen to this because it sets me thinking. Now, Ogbeha is 75. He was an army officer under IBB. He's 75, and now it is IBB that is putting a full-page ad in the papers, celebrating him. And this is what he says. He says that when brilliance means loyalty, he talks about all that. Dedication means diligence, and patriotism is required. Tunde Ogbeha will surely be there. Okay. He also says that at 75, just like yesterday, how time flies as we blaze through the trail of leadership with love for our country at heart, laid down our lives, and so on and so forth. And he says, since our paths crossed, Tunde has been at his duty post. He says, sustaining friendship, loyalty, and solidarity. Now, the question is, of course, Babangida was his boss. What is the definition of loyalty in the Nigerian context? We have it on record. I wasn't there, but we have it on some kind of record that it was the likes of Ogbeha and I think David Mack and some of the who called IBB boys, who during the June 12 crisis moved in and told Oga Babangida that Oga, it is time to go, and they insisted that he should do the right thing and move. That is where I'm going. What is loyalty? Loyalty to your principal. Loyalty to anybody is to look them in the eye and tell them the honest to God truth. They have saved that man's life. He's still alive today, and now he appreciates it. If it had been for some kind of lackeys that we have in the political space, they would have urged him on and be ready to take whatever is left of him after he has been decimated. So today I want us to think about what is called loyalty. When you are loyal to somebody, when you love somebody, your job, I believe, subject to debate, if you like, but that's where I stand, is to be able to look them in the eye and save them from themselves. I would like that kind of loyalty inculcated in the political space, if you get what I mean. This is where I'm going with this ad. Almost 20 years after, he appreciates what these younger officers did to him with them. I understand that they moved him and surprised him in the morning and said, "Oga, no, there's no going here. It's time for you to go. Let's package it and let's leave." And the man is now living his life quietly in Mina, even though he has challenges. Who doesn't? At 80-something, who doesn't? But like I said, that loyalty, that loyalty at that time, the proper loyalty, is what is being celebrated today. And I'd like to join in wishing Senator Ogbeha, happy birthday, and to thank him for that, and his friends and his group for that intervention of that day. Because look, let's take out the moral side of the crisis and look at reality. What if Babangida didn't leave that time to hand over? There could have been a battle. Who knows? We could jolly well still be at it till today.
Till today.
But these people, the younger ones, they said, they were the ones who said, "Okay, let's manage you. It's time to go." I hope some people get this message. On to the next one.
You can watch on Facebook. You can also watch on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch us live on those two platforms. Let's go to the punch. NNPC can't justify 6.34 trillion naira petrol subsidy. That's customs speaking.
This was the story I was referring to when I was trying to needle Sheriff. How do you react to this? The Controller General of the Customs has stated that NNPC cannot justify. It's why I use the word cannot account. That's not what he said. He said cannot justify. That word cannot justify means that he believes that there's something fishy. Cannot justify the volume of petrol being consumed in the country daily to warrant over 6.34 trillion subsidy payment on the commodity annually. So what Colonel Ali is trying to insinuate is that, is it possible that NNPC are inflating these figures so that they can lay claims on subsidy? So what kind of paperwork would have been done? Obviously, some papers could have been faked. Some figures could have been tampered with. And he says it here. They cannot justify. And in his presentation to the House of Reps at the continued hearing, he said that he alleged that the nation's oil company was supplying an excess of 38 million nairas of PMS daily. That is, they were supplying
excess
on paper 38 million liters of PMS
daily.
Daily. I almost gave a cut. All the committee had asked Ali about the like deficit of between 11 trillion and 12 trillion in the 2023 budget as proposed. The federal government is proposing a budget with estimates totaling 19.76 trillion in payment of subsidies. He said, the colonel said, "I remember that last year we spoke about this. Unfortunately, this year we are talking about subsidy again. The over 11 trillion we are going to take as debt, more than half of it is going on subsidy. The issue is not about smuggling of petroleum products. I've always had this argument with NNPC." Ali says, if we are consuming 60 million liters of PMS per day by their own computation, if they say, well, why would you allow the release of 98 million liters per day? If you say we are consuming 60, so why would we release 98? If you know this is our consumption, why would you allow that release? Scientifically, you cannot tell me that if I fill my tank today, I will fill the same tank with the same quantity of fuel. If I'm operating first station today and I go to Mina Depot, leave petrol and take it to Kaduna, I may get to Kaduna in the evening and offload the fuel. There is no way I would have sold off that petroleum immediately to around another load.
Another load.
So how do you get to 60 million liters per day? That is my problem. Gentlemen and ladies, or ladies and gentlemen, I'm surprised this is on page 17 of a national newspaper. This should be making front page lead. In all honesty, though, the headline is there, but even part of the story should be there.
You see, when you
quite significant, yes.
When you argue, when you tell people that we need to stop the payment of subsidy, they would tell you that, you know, that's the only benefit that they get from the government, not looking at the fact that what they call benefit is actually crumbs as to compared to what these people in charge of whatever they call it, under recovery benefit, whatever English they put it, they give to that thing. As against what they steal from the coffers of the nation.
I must confess that I am one of such people.
Oh, okay.
Walk by me. I must confess that I looked at it from a narrow prism that you are talking about. I'm one of those. You know, and we should be knocked on the head. Because none of us could imagine that something as criminal as this could be going on.
Mm.
But guess what? With this thing, this man, he said this same thing last year. What has happened? Now we are going to borrow money.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are going to borrow money.
Over $3 trillion.
To service something that more or less can be called fraudulent. To use Uche's words, it is a shame. Somebody should be handing us handkerchiefs in this studio. And guess what? Nothing is going to happen.
But how do you get to convince that woman listening to us right now,
yes,
to tell her that, look, let's remove this subsidy. You're going to pay more for petrol.
Well, now that we are doing what is this program all about? That's what we are doing. But you see, the elements that are involved in this fraudulent practice are very powerful people.
Very powerful.
When people were jumping up and down in Ojota, and we were all so happy, little did we know that one Bawani, big time. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it is extremely sad. People should be weeping on the streets now. And what is sad is that every year now, in the past 3 or 4 years, this information has been coming out. We haven't heard the president ask for some kind of audit or whatever, you know, some big inquiry into it. It only comes out when you are preparing the next year's budget.
They said we'll not pay again after June.
That's convenient to say they would have gone.
Shebi.
Yes. It's convenient to say you will not do anything after June, knowing that another government would have been in place. Don't you smell the coffee?
I can smell it now. It's smelly.
In all honesty, when I look at the people who want to take over, you know, from 2023, both Demo and the voters,
I
feel so sorry for my country. At a time of global crisis, I feel so, so sorry. The mess that the next government will inherit, that is unknown to us. For an oil-producing country, your refineries are not working. Then you now, no wonder the refineries are not working. Those refineries should have been sold 20-something years ago.
Mele Kyari said that they will start working now. That by the time they start working and Dangote start refining next year, we will not be importing petrol anymore.
But we'll be servicing debt.
Yes, we will, definitely.
So that's when the problem will start. And that's why our young people need to put on their thinking caps and know what is waiting for them. And use that to decide who will take over from the reins of power. It is true, yes, the subsidy will stop. Okay, Dangote will give you fuel for some, but you still be servicing the debt. Debt for what? Don't forget that the debt you're servicing, some of it was probably not even used in paying a correct subsidy.
What they're supposed to, yeah.
Yes. Only the Lord will help this country.
All right.
I think we should pray now.
No, we have to walk.
We have to
walk. This is the time to walk.
But I think this next story.
Yeah.
This next story will be relevant.
Yes. Suicide between depression and the control of evil eye.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you. Okay. Now, whether you are a Christian or you are a Muslim, given the kind of stories that you heard this morning and the way I feel, I recommend that you read this story in The Guardian, page 24. And it's Friday Worship. It's written by an Islamic cleric. Suicide between depression and the control of evil eye. And it's written by Afis Oladosu. But I don't think we have the time for me to go through it very well. I recommend that you read this thing. It talks about suicide between depression and control of the evil eye. Some of the depression that you see, believe you me, Sheriff, some of the depression that you see are stories that are bound like this for people who know and have found themselves in a terrible situation. These things have repercussions. These things have repercussions on people. And that's why I recommend Friday Worship. I recommend that you read by Afis. If you Google Afis Oladosu, I'm sure the article will come up. And it talks about suicide, why you shouldn't commit suicide. You know.
We have to go now. We have to go. Well, what's coming up at 9?
What I promised yesterday is what we're going to do. And luckily, I got an expert. How to look for a hidden camera. It could save your life.
Indeed.
It could totally save your life.
All right. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Lagos, that's our show. Let's take a break and bring you Friday's Hot Takes. Stay here.
They don't disconnect your line. Sick of say you not link your national identification number to your MTN number? Make you not worry. If you don't already collect your NIN, it gets some.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.